Erev Tov, Rabotai. Hi, Sam. So, this is the last night Seder before the break. I hate to call it that, but before Yom Tov. I said this before, I think it's important. The Chazon Ish used to say that just like the Chachamim told us that we have to start reviewing the pertinent halachot of Pesach 30 days before Pesach, he said, 30 days before Ben Azmanim, you have to start reviewing Ilchot Kibud Avayim. Because, you know, you go back home and you have more exposure to your parents and whatever, so it's important to polish up on those halachot, because these are, you know, mitzvot that are omed berumo shel olam. So, obviously, as the Rosh Yeshiva said today, it is of paramount importance when a person goes home that you are, not only do you learn, that goes without saying, but you are mekadesh shem shamayim in everywhere you go. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishle, "Bechol derachecha de'ehu, v'hu yiyasher orchotecha," which means anywhere you go, know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, represent Him, and He will straighten your ways. Whether it's at home or in shul or in the supermarket or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? Bnei Torah especially are the premier ambassadors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You represent Hashem, and literally all eyes are on you. People are looking at Bnei Torah to see how they act. And it's important to come out of Zman acting refined, b'derech eret, and, you know, nicely, you know, not to be overly, you know, even if you're stressed. Everybody's stressed, especially, you know, close to Pesach. There's nobody who's not. But be me'ir panim. It's important, like, Shamay omer v'mekabel et kol ha'adam b'sefer panim yafot. Be, you know, have a shining countenance, be smiley, help people. During this month, maybe you don't have so much time for gmilut chasadim. We're all wrapped up in ourselves. But it's important to be gomel chasadim wherever possible. Gmilut chasadim is ben begufo, ben bemamono, ben bediburo. You could be gomel chasadim in every aspect of your existence. Physical, verbal, financial, you can do so many things. So that's super, super important. And yeah.
Is helping my parents like Pesach stuff?
Yes.
Should I be kibbutz chasadim?
Absolutely.
You know, it's kibbutz
avim. Vadai. You kill two birds with one stone. It's an unbelievable thing. It's a very, very important thing. And chesed, you know, I know it's a little cliche, but it certainly does start at home. Not run, you know, running out to do gminut chasadim outside the house and neglecting the house is not fair, and it's not tardic. The tardic approach is to start at home, and then, you know, if there's anything else that you can do elsewhere, and, you know, they have all sorts of initiatives, the yeshiva had, you know, going to kasher people's kitchens and schlepping groceries for elderly people, whatever it is, but be gomel chasadim aguf. It's a winning combination, the combination of, you know, Torah and Tefillah and Gemilut Chasadim is boundless. Anyway, I wanted to speak about a halakha that I actually touched upon in the morning. I spoke about it in terms of hotels, but it really applies anywhere you go if you're traveling. If you're not in your own house, this is a halakha that really has to be dealt with when you're traveling for Pesach or Shabbat or any Yom Tov. You really have to know. Now, hotels are interesting in that if you've ever gone to a hotel for Shabbat or Yom Tov, especially if it's a firm program or Shabbos or whatever it is, you know that Hadlakat Nerot is it's a parsha. Yeah, in best case scenario is that they're telling, you know, best case is like, yeah, light in the room, yeah, light candles in the room and, you know, go about your night. That would be wonderful. Most hotels are not okay with that. That's a fire hazard and they're not okay. And I've seen it happen before where a wise guy will do that and there's like sensors, like the smoke detector in the room, and it goes off and like balagan gadol. So let's assume for a second that's not an option. The Chachamim were mitakin, if you look in Shulchan Aruch Siman Hashem Gimal, the Chachamim were mitakin that you're able to be, you're able to do Hadlakat Nerot Shabbat in one of two settings. Where you eat, where you sleep, or both. Bizman Chazal, where you eat and where you sleep, were really one and the same because they didn't have such big houses. They had these like little apartments, and if you light where you're eating, that also illuminates where you're sleeping, which was Ikara Takana, Bizman Chazal, right? Like the Gemara says in the Masechet Shabbat, in the second Pirik, that it's Manbishnon Bayit v'chule. But the Poskim do break it down, the Bet Yosef brings it, B'Shem HaBahag, and the Rambam, that either or, where you're eating or sleeping, is eligible for Hadlakat Nerot Shabbat. That's why, in your own house, we tend to light Nerot Shabbat where we eat, you know, very close to either next to the table, whatever it is, so that it lights up where we're eating, besides for the fact that where we go to sleep, there's other lights also. If we're Bizman Chazal, you have to have some sort of light also where you go to sleep so that you don't trip or you don't hurt yourself, and that causes all sorts of, you know, uncomfortable feelings in the house. Now, what usually happens in hotels is that they don't let you light where you sleep. They don't let you light in your room. And there's not usually a setting to be able to light where you eat. So what do they have? I don't know if you've ever been to a hotel before for Shabbat or Yom Tov. They have the lobby, right? In the lobby, they have this aluminum foil covered table or a glass table. And they have like 100 tea lights or more, like spread out on the thing. And then you come and all the ladies come and they make brachas and they light over there. Yes? According to Sfaradim, that is a major issue for two reasons. And according to Ashkenazim, they lose one of the issues, but it's still an issue for one. For Sfaradim, so first of all, you have the issue of it's not Mekoma Achila, and it's not Mekoma Alina. Now, what do you say? No, but I'm a guest in the hotel. That's true, you're a guest in the hotel. But this Rishut, the lobby, you have Rishut to pass by, but it's not your dedicated Rishut, correct? I mean, if you wanted, let's say, just for argument's sake, you wanted to bring a mattress and just sleep there. You can't, right? It's made for passersby. It's made for people to walk through and get to where they need to get, but it's not your designated Rishut, and therefore you can't light there. That's number one. Number two, Maran HaShulchan Aruch in Siman HaResamach Gimel says that even in your own house, this is a very common occurrence by Sfaradim. Let's say you have multiple women staying in the same house for Shabbat. A mother, a mother-in-law, daughter, daughter-in-law, sisters, whatever, and they're all there, and they all want to, you're sitting in the dining room, and they all want to light Nerot Shabbat over there. The Dat Manan Shulchan is a big problem. You cannot make a bracha on Tosefet Ora. Only the first woman to, man, woman, whatever, I'm just talking about women because it's their mitzvah in general, only the first one to light can make a bracha. All the subsequent ones, they cannot. The Rama disagrees. Rama quotes Trumat Adishin, who says that for Ashkenazim, it is permissible to light, even for Tosefet Ora, even for additional light, you can make a bracha on that too. But for Manan, that's a problem. Therefore, this hotel table in the lobby, candlelighting business, is a real problem. A person's not yosei. I spoke to the Rishiva. If you look in the poskim, you look in the Mishabura, you look in the Dirshu, who brings down many poskim achronim. I spoke to the Rishiva a few weeks ago, and he said, yeah, that's not a thing. It's not a Sephardi Ashkenazi thing. It's a nobody thing. It's a, even for Ashkenazim, Tosefet Torah, but you can make a bracha on Tosefet Torah in a Rishut that is miuchad for your eating or sleeping, not in a random place in the hallway. Yes? So, he says also, he tells people in his keel and he tells his wife, like if they go away to a hotel for Shabbos, whatever, to light in the room. Meaning not, even if they don't light fire, but at least to light with with an electric light. Now, whether or not you can make a bracha on an electric light is subject to machloket poskim. L'da'at manan zechun bracha, you can turn on an electric light in your hotel room and make a bracha on it. Good question. Hold on. Let's say, you know, like a nightlight, like a Shabbos lamp, whatever, one of those chevra, you can make a bracha on that, according to Maran Tchon Bracha. Other poskim disagree because it's not actual fire, but we see from the poskim that the Ikara Takanav Nerot Shabbat, unlike Havdalah and Motzei Shabbat, where you need actual ish, by Nerot Shabbat, you don't need ish. What do you need? Or you need the light that comes from whatever. So, therefore, according to them, according to Maran Tchon Bracha, the Yalkut Yosef and others, you'd be able to make a bracha. Most contemporary Poskei Ashkenaz say that you would not be able to make a bracha, but certainly you would be yotze the mitzvah of Hadlakat Nerot Shabbat if you do that. The Rishiva says he does that when he goes to a hotel, a nightlight or a Shabbos lamp in the hotel room. Next best thing you can do is if they allow you, you know, sometimes in the dining room of hotels on Shabbat or Yom Tov, just for the decor, they light candles on the tables. You ever seen that? So if they're okay with lighting candles on tables, you should ask for permission. You're allowed to light with a bracha a candle on the table where you'll be, or very close to the table that you'll be eating in the dining room, and that's considered lighting bimkoma achila, in which case, that's another good thing. So, what I tell people to do, you know, this coming Pesach, I don't know why, I feel like this year, like, Pesach programs are, like, more than any, you know what I'm saying? It's weird, like, oh, you're staying home? That's off. And right? I don't think it's off. I think it's great. I think it's amazing. I think it's chatayani maskir, but not the program. Like a family thing, like elsewhere. But I loved it. Wasn't my fault, is what I'm telling you. Whatever, you know, they needed it, so I made it happen. But point being, staying home is great. Rav Amar, the Rav Rashi Lirushalayim, he always says, you know what's the badatz achitov? You know what's the best badatz of all the badatzim? A badatz shel habayit. The best kashrut is the kashrut at home. You have the most control. You see what comes in, what, you know, comes out. All these, you know, yeah, some programs and whatever have more, better kashrus, worse kashrus, whatever. But the best kashrut that you can ever have is at home. It's the best. You have the most control. And besides for kashrut, you know, it goes on your own pace and you're not pressured and you don't have to impress anybody, you know what I'm saying? Go away and they take like 50 outfits and like, oh, I can't wear this twice in this. Why not? Because they already saw me in it. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, at home, it's more chilled. I feel like you're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more when you're at home. But that's, you know, that's a different rant. But, so, if you're going to a hotel, I tell people, first night, best thing, staying home? No. Anyway, it's all right. Hashem no.
4 suits, yeah. 5 ties.
Yeah.
Oh, you were one of the suits once.
No, by women, it's a lot worse than men. If a woman, I didn't know this when I first got married. You know, like if you walk into shul and you see somebody wearing the same suit as you or same tie as you, like, oh wow, that's nice, whatever. If a woman, bar minan, ever bumps into another woman with the same outfit or whatever it is, it's ta'ar. I don't know. They have such. I asked my wife to explain to me, I'm like, why are you so bizarre? Why is it like, no, you'll never understand? I'm like, try me. I don't know. Explain. I don't know why. It's like, no, there's another woman that had the same outfit. So what? So what? I mean, they take it and you know, but it's Nashim Amifna Atzman in Ma. So that's what it is. You know what I'm talking about? It's like Shem Shmor. They run away so nobody sees that. It's like,
we're all wearing the same outfit right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I like your outfit.
Is there an explanation at the end of the year?
I don't think there is one. I think it's just a thing. It's like it's insulting. Like you took it from me. You stole my thunder. You took my moment. There's certain things that you'll never understand. You say, yeah, I hear.
Baruch Hashem.
Huh? Baruch Hashem. No, but it's Baruch Hashem. But you also have to be like, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. It's,
you want a new dress? Go right ahead.
It's terrible. It's a bar minan. I'm saying that. I'm saying that. Bekitzer, so first night of Yom Tov, if you're in one of these hotels, you lighten the room, you do a nightlight, Shabbos lamp. Bathroom light is actually the Halacha Berura in Siman Rav Arisa Margiman. He says that you should not light a bathroom light. He equates it to what the Gemara says, Itran. You're not allowed to light one of the forbidden oils to light with his Itran because it smelled. When you lit it, it smelled. So you're not allowed to light an oil that if you light it, it causes a bad odor. So he says turning on the bathroom light in your hotel room is tantamount to Ner Shirechora. Therefore, you shouldn't use it. Yalkut Yosef disagrees. He says, that, no, that's not true. The light itself, it doesn't have any bad smell. It happens to be in a place that sometimes can smell bad. But that doesn't mean it's nir shirichora. And he says actually that Maran Tachon Baruch HaMavadiya, when he was in hotels for Shabbat, and he had no other recourse, he would make a bracha outside the bathroom and he would turn on the bathroom light for Nero Shabbat. So Maaser Rav, he said that Maran Tachon Baruch HaMavadiya used to do that. If you need to, you can do that. Now, that only helps you for Lin Shabbat. What are you going to do the first night of Yom Tov? What are you going to do the second night of Yom Tov? You can't turn on more lights in the room, so now you're stuck. So what do you do? So if you can try to do the dining room thing, that would be a good thing. They should be able to accommodate you because they light candles on the tables. You know, it's like ambiance, you know, dim and candles, whatever. Just tell them, yeah, it's an ambiance thing, whatever. Like mitzvah, but yeah, whatever. And if that doesn't work, then you can light in the lobby situation without a bracha. Because really, both for Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, I would never recommend making a bracha on lighting Nerot Shabbat in the lobby situation, because Meikar HaDin not really Yotze, but just to get something to cause some sort of Tosefet Torah, you can light there when all else fails without a bracha. Now, that's hotels.
And if like they did light with a bracha, then like bracha levatal, like what?
At least a sefik, very very large sefik bracha levatal. At least
we should like let women know.
If they'll listen, sometimes they don't listen. Sometimes they'll be like, "Yeah, I hear you, but no, I don't care." Like, no, like you know, whatever, huh? I think so. If you think they'll listen, then tell them. If you think they won't listen,
like I should just say like, don't make a bracha, but like still do it there.
Yeah, you say. I heard from Arabim that there's very very strong reason not to make a bracha on the lobby.
If it's in the lobby,
which it probably will be.
Right.
That's. Anytime I've been in a hotel for Shabbat or Yom Tov, it's always, always been in the lobby.
But it was like right outside the ballroom where everyone's eating.
Good. So if it's right outside the ballroom and you're sitting that close that the light from those candles can illuminate where you're sitting, then you're okay. But usually that's not the case. I haven't seen that being the case, is what I'm saying. Yeah, Samuel Tanz? You good? Now, yeah. Dovi. Yeah. Yeah. Good. That's great. That's a good chav. That works. Because usually they do the same thing for menorahs on Hanukkah, like in whatever. They also have like a lobby menorah situation, which is neither here nor there. That's a good move. Yeah. Now, that's with regards to hotels. What about if you are going to somebody's house? That's another thing. So, you're going to parents, in-laws, friends, family, whatever. You're staying in somebody's house. So the Ba'alat HaBayit will be lighting at her regular, you know, her spot by the table. So for Ashkenazim, you're fine. All the other women will be able to light at the same place because Ashkenazim, it is Mekom HaAchila, and Ashkenazim customarily can make a bracha on additional light. So you're good. Sfaradim, however, have a problem with that. According to Maran, that you cannot make a bracha on additional light. First of all, don't chop the mitzvah from Ba'alat HaBayit. She has, you know, she's got right of refusal, you know what I'm saying? It's her house. Let her light the right way. What about everybody else? So, let's try again. If you can light in your room, now, if they, sometimes the Ba'alat HaBayit will be like, okay, light tea lights in your room, just go check on it, whatever. Good. Excellent. If they don't let you, sometimes they won't feel comfortable or whatever it is, then what are your options? What do you do now? What I would say is, what I tell people to do, this is what I tell my wife to do, sometimes when we're at my in-laws or parents or whatever it is, I'll tell my wife, if we can't light in the room, or not light in the room, or if you can light, not light night light, fine. But that's only the first day Yom Tov, right? Shabbat, whatever. What are you going to do on the subsequent days? You go prepare candles, tea lights, whatever it is, next to Ba'alat HaBayit. Even though we cannot make a bracha on Tosefet Torah, listen to the Ba'alat HaBayit's bracha. You can still light there and be yotze because it's still Mekom HaAchila. Listen to Ba'alat HaBayit's bracha. Be yotze with the bracha. Let her light. And as soon as she's done lighting, you light after. So then you're yotze, the mitzvah of Adlaka, because it is Mekom HaAchila. And at the end of the day, It won't be a bracha levatala because you would have been yotze with the bracha of ba'alat habayit. That's, I think, you know, best thing to do under the circumstances when circumstances for lighting Nerot Shabbat or Nerot Yom Tov are not ideal. Yeah. Not really. That's more of a Hanukkah thing. It does apply in certain situations of Nerot Shabbat, but only if everybody's sharing a room. If you have different rooms, so you're not really chipping it.
Sharing the dining room together.
No. Because you have your own sleeping rooms. So that, just like in yeshiva, it's a little bit different, technically. So in Ashkenazi yeshivas, here, we're in Nerot Shabbat lit, in the dining room, yes? Somebody's in charge of lighting Nerot Shabbat, but you still have some sort of light going on in the dorms, right? So that is actually, that bracha is motzi, not only the candles upstairs, it's motzi, the light that you have in the dorms as well. So, well, yeah, that's about that. It's been a wonderful zman, Baruch Hashem, Shtabach Shemo, and I wish you all a Chag Hashem Sameach, Tzichut Shem Rabot Na'imot V'Tovot, and go make a lot of Kiddush Hashem Shamayim. A lot, Mezat Hashem.